Ah, that's right. Hang on, Sloopy, hang on. Tony Weidman's in the building this afternoon. Hey, I'm Ann Eller. You know Tony Weidman. He's the owner of T.W. Boone's right up there in Uptown Greenwood. And I know Tony has a large family, 8 kids, and I found out you're expecting your 9th child.
Yes, ma'am.
That's going almost getting to record-breaking, isn't it?
I guess we're shooting for double digits. My wife would say no way, but it seems like that's a possibility. So
that's a possibility.
We've always known that we wanted a large family. So, you know, each one's a blessing.
That's right. Now, what ages do you have? How old is your oldest?
19.
19, and the youngest that's here right now
is 1.
Is 1. Oh my goodness! Wow. Well, you know, God bless you, Tony.
Thank you.
God bless
my wife.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So, you decided to run for representative to South Carolina, the state of South Carolina, and that is in which district?
District 12.
District 12. So, and you are a Republican, and you're running against Ann Parks.
Right.
Right. With a restaurant, 9 children, and all the other commitments that you have, what made you decide to run for office?
Just what I've seen happen in downtown Greenwood over the last 10 years. It's like I feel like with that experience that someone with a small business background could do a good job in Columbia.
Yeah. Meaning what's happened in downtown, uptown?
Well, we've kind of had a rebirth. I'm sure most people are well aware of what downtown was like 10 years ago. And then thanks to, you know, the people like Charlie Barano and John Holloway and others down there, you know, we've put in the hard work. We've blood, sweat, and tears. And now there's been a rebirth, you know. I'd like to see that for South Greenwood. I'd like to see that for McCormick County. So,
what would you think that could be done for McCormick?
Well, that's actually we had a meeting down there yesterday. Myself and Jeff Duncan and some of the community leaders down there. You know, it's probably going to be a slow go process, but somebody needs to be knocking on the federal government's door and say McCormick needs some of this land, so that it can collect tax revenue on. You know, the figures that I heard yesterday was 92% of McCormick County is owned by the federal government. And that's money that McCormick County's, I mean, that's land that McCormick County's not collecting revenue on. You know, what I would like to see is, you know,
Give up some of that land.
Yeah,
I don't see that happening. Tony?
Well, you know, if you've got Jeff Duncan, Nikki Haley, Lindsey Graham knocking on the door constantly, being, you know, agitated, and maybe Tony Weidman saying, you know, we've got, you know, the highest unemployment in the state, you know, we've got and it's been there for years. Governor Haley, you've created jobs in 45 out of 46 counties, but you miss McCormick. You know, if that conversation is happening, we got a better chance, you know. I met a gentleman named Columbus, who is the county administrator down there yesterday, and they're pushing it. They're working hard down there now to get these types of things done. So,
now the government owns the land for what purpose? What was it originally the purpose of? Or
I don't know whether, I know it was partly because of building the lake down there. Building a hydroelectric, you know, dam. Mm-hmm. You know, there's shoreline there that could be used for more communities like Savannah Lakes. A couple more communities like that, and, you know, you're tripling your tax base. You know, once you start getting that money in, then you start working on infrastructure and attracting companies to attract jobs. So.
Sure. You know, but that brings up the, it's like nonprofits don't pay taxes on stuff like Lander University and taking over the Jeff May Center, beautiful center and everything, but we lost a pretty big tax base there.
Well, you're also going to increase your tax base on the residential properties around it when you have the amenities, you know, like Gray Street Park, which fixing, you know, those properties right around Gray Street Park are going to increase in value. They're taxed, so the tax revenue is going to increase in value. So it's a give and take, but in, you know, close to home, you expand a restaurant and you make it two stories instead of one story, and you double your tax base from that property. So,
yeah, what do you think about that, Tony? Now, from a business person's aspect here,
you know, as a small business person and knowing the remodeling and stuff that we've gone through just in our small business, I feel like, you know, when property owners, when business owners put in that kind of equity into their building, that they should get a tax break. I think the government should make it more easy for business owners to pay their bills, to stay open, to hire more employees and stuff, instead of the rate. I think the last number I heard was like 75% of small businesses fail in the first 10 years. Mm-hmm. You know, that needs to be the success rate, not the failure.
You right.
52% of the jobs in this country last year were small business jobs created.
Sure.
So, you know, there need to be people in government that are looking out for small business owners, not just corporations.
So if you're elected to this position, you would go down there to Columbia. And that brings up another question, you know, but you would go down there to Columbia to try to get taxes reduced for small businesses.
Yes, yeah. Most definitely.
Most definitely. And I noticed that one of the things that you are kind of upset about is the fact that our larger businesses, bigger corporations, get a lot of tax breaks.
I wouldn't say I'm upset, because I know there's a trickle down. You know, it's like I can look at, you know, a Colgate-Palmolive coming in and seeing how many jobs they're creating and kind of get an idea on what their payroll is going to be and what kind of money that's going to bring into Greenwood County.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what kind of money Colgate is, you know, and I know that there's that money's going to disperse to all the businesses that, you know, so I understand that. But at the same time, it's like, okay, if you're going to look out for those guys, how about look out for the 10 little guys?
Yeah,
that's the same. It's the same amount of money.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
If there's 10 businesses with 30 employees, it's the same as one business with 300. So, you know, there's people like Jeep at the Mill House and, you know, Howard Corley that are putting blood, sweat, and tears into small businesses.
Sure.
And, you know, and pouring money into, you know, remodeling and new roofs and, you know, hiring two or three employees this year, the increases their, you know, their labor over last year. Let's give them some breaks too.
Sure. Well, I think basically in South Carolina, I keep hearing that we need to redo the tax code, that it's more like a hose that keeps getting patched. But we have never sat down and redone the tax code. And every year they start talking about it. The next year there's some election, so they just pass on it. And if the tax code was redone and redistributed how they are doing things, then that might make a big difference too.
And that's, you know, that's part of what why we're doing this. It's like, you know, me and my wife sat down and it's like, okay, do we have time to run a campaign? No. Do we have time to go to Columbia? No. But if not us, who's going to do it? There's a civic responsibility there. And looking at it as, okay, I have no background in politics.
Okay.
I'm a small business owner. But let's send a shot across the bow to these career politicians, to the people that are down there doing it, saying, okay, your job's in jeopardy because there's going to be more guys like me coming to get things fixed.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, if I can upset a 16-year incumbent with a grassroots campaign based out of a little restaurant uptown, then we can get them all. So.
Well, you know, that is the thing. The tax code itself absolutely should be fixed. We have things that are very inequitable when we talk about car taxes, boat taxes, you know, a lot of these taxes.
But they just keep coming.
Right. And they just, they don't get fixed. So I think one of the things that would be a big thing is that if the South Carolina House of Representatives would tackle the tax code and really make some changes in the tax code, that would be beneficial. But Let's hear a quick word from our sponsors. When we come back, we've got more to talk about. We are talking with Tony Weidman. Why don't you stay right with us? And if you got a question for Tony, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Ah, that's right. We're right back here. How you doing this afternoon? Hey, I am Ann Eller. We are talking with Tony Weidman. He is running for South Carolina House District 12, and he is a Republican. And we were just talking, and I was just asking you about the roads. This seems to be a big discussion, and it is something that is so important to our state. You know, we've got the port down there. We need to be able to move product up and down the roads, and our roads are really, really, really getting in bad condition. And particularly when you look over there, and some of the roads over there in McCormick are very bad. What is the answer? What would you feel would be the right way to go about it?
As much as I hate to say it, I am in favor of a gasoline tax. We have the lowest gasoline tax, and I can't remember how long it's been since it's been raised in this
state.
It's
been a long time, yep.
I want to say early 80s, but I'm not sure. I want to say 82, but I'm not positive on that right now. But at least that would shift some of the burden to the people traveling through, you know, the truckers coming down 85 and 95.
Just and tourism.
Yep.
Tourism,
you know.
Dollars, yep.
We can shift some of the burden to Ohio, but so that's the route that I would take, you know. I think, and I would also say that is going to start generating the money the fastest.
Sure, I agree with you, Tony. I know it's not a popular thing. I know our governor has said that it's not going to happen on her watch, but I really think that that is the only equitable way that we can really raise money quickly, still have low gas prices, You would not have to raise it very much to have a big impact. And I've seen some of the figures, but like you, I couldn't tell you what they are, but it is very, very possible to do. So, and then, of course, there's the problem of how we get the money back from the federal government when it comes to our roads and bridges and everything. That's a bungalow, too.
You know, I, like many South Carolinians, I don't like to deal with the federal government. So that's it. You know, I would
unfortunately,
like to,
we are part of this year, United States. Yes.
So, you know, we have a strong identity.
Yes, we
for
do
ourselves.
Exactly.
So, that would be a better question for, say, Jeff Duncan or Lindsey Graham or one of those guys. You know, I don't have a background in...
No, but I was just saying, but we have to deal with the federal government and getting our monies back from the federal government, just like you and I were talking about off the air, about the money coming back from Columbia, coming back in accommodations tax and this type of thing, coming back into Greenwood County, McCormick County, whichever county it is.
Right.
And
that's what, you know, it's like what I was saying. It's like I sit on that ATAX committee, and you know, the money that's collected, say it's $125,000, and that's money collected to promote tourism in Greenwood, South Carolina. Well, by the time the ATAX committee gets to recommend what each agency is going to get, well, that number's only $56,000. And it's like, okay, well, if we collect $125,000, I feel like Greenwood should get $125,000. So, and you were
but where would that leave the state, though? They'd have to get some of it now, Tony, because they're promoting tourism in South Carolina and Greenwood. I'm sure that's their answer.
Well, I'm sure that's their answer. Well, we can negotiate.
Okay.
How about since you're giving us less than half, give us 75%.
Yeah.
There's a starting point.
Exactly. So, how has been the response in your campaign?
Very positive. I've had a few people ask me, well, you know, are you crazy? And I said, well, yes, I am. You know, it's not something that me and my wife ever sat out to do. You know, we had conversations, and it's like, well, do we have time? No, we don't have time. Do you think you can do a good job? Yeah, I think I can do a good job. And say, well, then you have a civic responsibility to do it. And we're, you know, we're learning as we go. It's, you know, it's like I almost regret that there's only 3 weeks left.
You wish you had more of the knowledge than what you had now, right?
Yeah, I wish I had gotten started sooner. But I know a lot more now than I did,
you know, when
5
you started.
Months ago.
Sure.
At the same time, you know, it's been a significant grind on the family. My wife will tell you as much. So there's part of me that's like, yeah, I'm ready for it to be over. But at the same time, it's I feel like every day I'm becoming a better candidate.
Absolutely. Hey, I tell you what, we are talking to Tony Weidman. It is time for South Carolina Radio News. We'll be back. Got a question? Give us a call. 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. I'm here at Sharp Facets Gallery in my studio in the back. And you're listening to WCRS. And I'm here talking to Tony Weidman. He is a candidate for South Carolina House District 12. He is a Republican. In case you don't know who the incumbent is, it is Ann Parks. So, Tony, you and I were talking about off the air about school vouchers. Do you agree that school vouchers is a way to handle it? I mean, my God, Tony, you've got 8 children. You should have some experience in this.
Yes.
Yes.
I am for school vouchers. You know, I support public schools, I support private schools, but I understand that one size does not fit all. Not all kids are in a good environment when they're placed in public school, and, you know, their parents need a choice to get them in a good environment. You know, someone said to me, I believe it was Gonza Bryan actually, said, well, you can't support both, there's only so much water in the bucket, and my response to him was, you get a bigger bucket. You got to find the funding, which... You know, that's something that we would have to figure out in Columbia. But
a lot of people believe that if you did that, though, Tony, that it would take away from the public schools, and therefore there would be less interest in keeping the public schools in a good, and those that go to public schools would actually suffer in getting an inferior education.
That's not what I'm suggesting. It's, you know, what I'm suggesting is finding the funding to do both. It's also in my mind that if you make it a competitive environment,
kind of like business,
yes, you're going to hold the public schools more accountable. You're going to hold them accountable to making sure that the hallways are safe, that kids aren't getting bullied, you know, that they're providing a better education. You know, I also look at it as, you know, the kids that are suffering in public school might stay in school, given an opportunity to possibly go to public or
private or a charter school.
Or private or a charter school or something like that, and your graduation rates go up. You know, you get kids more ready for professional life.
In your experience with 8 children, I understand you've put them in all different types of schooling depending on the child.
We've homeschooled. We have some in private school, and we have some in public school, so... I had a daughter. My oldest daughter went to Greenwood High. My oldest son right now is in Emerald. So, you know, and then we have 5. Well, we really have 3 that are in at St. Ignatius, the new Catholic school. So,
yeah, how's that school doing?
They're doing well. You know, I came from a board meeting last week. We got some fundraisers coming up. The kids love it. Absolutely love it. My kids are, you know, up an hour beforehand, ready to go, waking up mom saying, come on, is it time to go? Just love it. So, and it's a great environment.
Now, where is the school at?
It's out on Woodlawn Road. Okay. It's in a multi-use building behind Grace Community Church.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's great. And I know that's something your brother-in-law, Jake.
Jake Bartley and his wife, Lainey, and then Joey and Toby Johnson, and then my wife, Anna. And lots of supporters. So.
Yeah, that's terrific.
Just absolute blessing to see the donations of money and equipment that came in. And the building, the Grace Community's letting us use that building for a wonderful price.
So. A wonderful price. That's great. Hey, I tell you what, we're here with Tony Weidman. Now, Tony, we've talked about schooling. We've talked about school vouchers. So you believe, as far as school vouchers, is that the public schools could survive and the private schools could survive, and we would have better education possibly with school vouchers?
I think so. I mean, competition tends to make businesses stronger, so mm-hmm. I would feel the same way about schools. I think the kids are going to get, the ones that are possibly dropping out because of the school environment they're in, you give them a better opportunity.
Absolutely. Now, what other issues are you strong on here, Tony?
Pro-life,
yes.
Of course, eight
right.
children.
Yeah,
nine.
Yeah, okay.
I'm pro-business. I want to see redevelopment, revitalization. That's a large part of where I see the, like we talked about, getting a bigger bucket for, funding schools and stuff like that is through revitalization and redevelopment, like what we've done downtown.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the things, particularly since your district is more towards McCormick, are they needing over there?
They need jobs, and, they need to, we talked about this yesterday. I was in a meeting with Jeff Duncan and some of the business leaders down there, and, one thing they talked about was the fact that the federal government owned 92% of the land in McCormick County. So, well, we need to start knocking on the Army Corps of Engineers door and get them to release some of that land for development. An 8% property tax base for a county is pretty scary. I'd like to see them open up some more shoreline for development, get some developers in there and build some more communities and increase that tax base. Another issue is McCormick County needs natural gas, and I believe the closest pipe is here in Greenwood, but they need that natural gas line to be run to have a factory site certified so that they can attract business, get some jobs.
Do they have any parks, business parks, anything like that down there?
That's what they're working on. They have a 47-acre tract that's only missing natural gas, and that's what they've already done the study. It would basically cost $15 million to run that line, so we got to go out and figure out how to get that money.
Absolutely. I tell you what, I'm going to get the frog out of my voice. I'm here with Tony Weidman. We'll be back in just a moment.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. I think I got rid of the frog. I'm back here with Tony Weidman, and we are talking about his candidacy for South Carolina House District 12. Tony Weidman is running against Ann Parks in that district. Now, Tony, one of the things that you and I were just talking about is space available for incoming businesses. And, one of the things that they have been talking about in Greenwood is that we're out of buildings, that we're going to have to build something in order to attract other businesses here.
I beg to differ.
Okay.
small story. Thinking about, we drove to Greenville the other day and passed by Colgate Palmolive and started thinking, of course, being a business person, it's like, man, I wonder what their payroll is going to be.
Yeah.
And in turn, it's like, oh, so, okay, their payroll is going to be X amount of dollars, and it's going to be X times 12 for the year, you know, and that's a nice amount of money coming into the county. But it kind of started me thinking, it's like Grindle Mill, Grady Foundry, Matthews Mill, Greenwood Mills. And then I started thinking, because my wife owns Balance Point Gymnastics, by the way. She's kind of busting at the seams. She's doing a wonderful job down there. So we went looking for a bigger space.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a place in South Greenwood called Industrial Drive. And there's a handful of factories down there. Old warehouses, I mean, you name it. There's lots of stuff down in South Greenwood. And it made me think, it's like, you know, District 12's probably been, as far as South Carolina goes, and maybe even nationally, one of the hardest places hit. You know, because we rattled off like 10 different manufacturing places that closed in the last 30 years. And you can see the impact it's had on these communities as well. You know, like Matthews Mill Hill and the Greenwood Mill Hill. That's something that I would like to explore too. That's one of the first things that I'd like to do. You know, I support Governor Haley in the way that she's been attracting jobs to South Carolina. I would like her to come see me or come see Greenwood and, you know, look at these plants down here. I know Heather Jones and the Partnership Alliance are doing a wonderful job. And I mean, there's no bigger supporter for downtown or, what the partnership is doing with Colgate Palmolive than me. You know, 300 jobs is a big deal. But I would love to, you know, set a goal, you know, here shortly that the next jobs announcement is going to be on the other end of Greenwood.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's like for a while there, everything was heading south on the bypass south on the bypass. And now we have Walmart coming up at this end of the bypass.
Now that's in the district, so that is something positive. But I'd still like to see something down in that Matthews
area.
Sure, absolutely. The most recent one we lost was Grady Foundry down there. But there's a lot of factory space along Industrial Drive.
Well, I just wonder if, because I've heard that we don't have any more usable space, so I just wonder if these factories are usable.
Some of them are fairly new.
Some of them are fairly new?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, then that's something to be investigated. And, you know, it was, I think it was two years ago, Governor Haley came to McCormick and went through McCormick, so.
Well, that's right. We talked to the meeting we were in yesterday. A gentleman named Columbus that I met down there, he's the county administrator, said that he has met with the governor three times. And so, I mean, she is well aware of what's going on in McCormick County. And, you know, I want to be that guy on the side giving her a hand. And it's like, let's, you know, work together and get that nut cracked.
Now, Tony, I just got to ask you, how is this going to work? Because, you get the office, you have T.W. Boone's, your wife has Balance Point, you'll have 9 children, you'll have 8 now, you'll have 9.
Shortly thereafter,
we'll have 9.
Middle of March.
Yes, okay, you'll have 9 children, and you'll be going back and forth down there to Columbia. It's going to be tough, isn't it?
It's, you know, that's one of the first conversations. It's like, how possible? But, you know, we have a strong belief in the Lord, and, you know, he'll direct us the right way, and you know, we're sure. It's one thing we do realize, if Lord willing, it's going to be hard.
Okay. All right. Because I can just see that's going to put a lot of stress on your restaurant.
Because you're a
hands-on person in the restaurant.
I'm very hands-on, but over the last year and a half, we've been doing the best job we could training up staff. We've had very blessed with employees like Johnny Gilchrist, Ashley Lomax, that have taken on managerial roles.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, they don't depend on me as much.
Okay, so you may have a little more flexibility.
I got a little more flexibility. It's going to be, I think the hardest will be home.
Absolutely.
You know, I've got good people to take care of me at the restaurant, or take care of the restaurant.
Right.
Hardest hit will be mom and kids.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we've talked about a lot of different issues. One of the issues, though, that is out there is we just have really gotten some medical marijuana here in South Carolina. And there's been some wonderful things that are happening as far as cures or making epilepsy, this type of thing. But a big discussion across our country is marijuana, you know, legalizing marijuana. We've seen the dollars that have come in Colorado, Washington State, Oregon. Where do you fall on this, since that has been a discussion right here in South Carolina?
I would have to say, on the record.
For the record.
Is definitely something that I would look at. You know, being a businessman and seeing what kind of taxes that small businesses pay, being a property owner and seeing what kind of taxes we pay, and also being a supporter for school vouchers and looking at the issues in South Carolina with the roads, you know, there's a business here that we're not taxing. I mean, there's people buying and selling, and as a state, we regulate alcohol, we regulate tobacco, and it's sold and it's taxed and taxed fairly heavily.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's definitely something that we need to, you know, give Colorado the lead.
Mm-hmm.
And see how it's working for them, see if it's worth it. And if so, you know, I think maybe put it on a referendum and let the voters decide.
Let the people decide. Well, it is. It has been a big boom to Colorado's economy. Now, they are having some problems on control and this type of thing, and they are working out the bugs, I guess, probably as we speak.
You know, that's, you know, you look here and, you know, there's black market alcohol and tobacco as well. So you're always going to have that shady backroom deals and stuff like that, but, you know, it's already an industry. I would rather take it out of the criminal element and put it in business owners' business and have it run that way.
I think the biggest thing that would be a concern, just as it is with alcohol, is the children, the exposure of children and this type of thing to it. Like the brownies that we've seen, the candy and this type of thing that they've had issues with out there in Colorado.
Are you going to trust the business owner that's got to go through the state to get a license to take care of it, or are you going to trust some guy on the corner?
Well, what I'm talking about is how they have actually, you know, had these issues with the candy and this type of thing, and kids getting a hold of the candy. Yes, it's not any different than them getting it on the back door of the schoolyard.
Yeah.
Except that these kids probably didn't know that they were even trying some marijuana, because they thought it was just a brownie. There has to be some difference
right in
how things look or something. But that would be the only issue that I could really see that would be a big problem. All right. Well, listen, Tony, we are almost to the top of the hour. I have asked a lot of questions, and now I would like to give you the opportunity to tell people why they should vote for you.
I would say that if you're looking for someone that's going to go and work hard, do a good job, have the best interests of District 12, I'm your guy.
Okay. Well, that's short and sweet, isn't it? Yeah.
I'm more of a worker than a talker.
You're more of a worker than a talker. Okay. Well, then you'll have to learn how to talk better than Tony, because that's part of being a politician, isn't it?
I don't know if you were there when I made my announcement. I'm looking at the article in the paper, but you know, that's the first thing I said was, you know, I've managed to avoid public speaking for 44 years, and here I go.
Yeah, and there you go. You're just going to jump on in. What do your kids think about it?
I would say most of them are very proud. I would say the teenagers are a little more reluctant, but, you know, I guess it's kind of embarrassing. I would be, too.
You would be embarrassed if your dad was a...
You know, that's my oldest Ellie just texted me and said, good job, you're doing good.
Doing a good job on the radio, right.
Yeah, so.
Well, I know it's been an exciting journey here, and I know in the next 3 weeks it's even going to turn up the heat a little more.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be crazy.
It's going to be crazy, and I know.
And that's what, you know, it's, I haven't even thought, it's like, what do we do day of, you know?
Right.
It's almost like a viewing party or something, so. We'll
get you'll be down at T.W. Boone's, I presume.
I'm assuming we might throw a little party.
Okay,
so.
Down there at T.W. Boone's. So that'll be good. And, you know, one of the things you can say, it's been an eye-opening experience, hasn't it?
Oh, it's so amazing. And that's one thing it's like I would suggest. It's like, and this is part of it, the whole campaign got started because I was complaining about taxes to one of my employees. You know, we're having a great night, and he said, well, you should be happy, and I say, oh, it doesn't matter. All of it's going to go to the government tomorrow.
Right.
And that conversation kind of led to, it's a put up or shut up, you know. But that's what I would suggest for people is to get involved. You know, don't just sit back and complain and make a difference. You know, get out and vote, but even more so, you know, find these organizations that could use your help and do a little work yourselves, and we can all make it a better place, you know.
Absolutely. That is what it's all about. It is about getting involved and at least getting out and vote. I'm afraid that this election could have a lot of voter apathy because we have so many people that are truly disgusted with the whole process that they may just pass it by. And you know what? If you do that, you could end up with a candidate you really didn't want in office. So you better get out and vote. Tony, thanks so much for coming today.
Thanks for the invite.
And good luck here. We hope that you do real well, and we hope to have you back sitting in this seat as Tony Weidman, South Carolina House District Number 12 Representative. Hey, I tell you what, you are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. I'm Ann Eller, my very special guest, Tony Weidman. We will be posting that on the website tomorrow, so you can go back and listen to it, and you can use it any way you'd like. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you.